Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. This is John Wesley again, and I am coming to you live from our studio. And I just want to welcome you to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. And, of course, it's going to be, just like it always has been, it's going to be 30 minutes, and I'll be one of your cohorts, okay? Of course, most of you already know me by now, that I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest is as it always has been, and that is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yeshua Jesus. At this time, I have the honor to introduce the other half of the co-host, and that is Minister Tanita Jones.
Hello, and welcome, everyone. Thank you, Rabbi. I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you. It's a blessing to be able to share the Hebraic truth of the Word of God. Just as a reminder, this is our ninth show, and I'll hand it back over to you. Thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction.
You're welcome. And I'm going to start us off with prayer and then just have Minister Tanita begin to just kind of give an overview of where we are right now before we dive deeper into the question that has been posed to us that I feel is not only important, but I really feel like it is a tremendous blessing if we learn how to harness the anointing of what God has in this question and then walk therein, which is an important thing for us to do pertaining to the Sabbath. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, first of all, thanking you for the opportunity. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for how it is beginning to truly minister to those that have need, have desire, and have questions that are pondering them that they need to have answers for. Not so that they can be knowledgeable, but so that they can walk in right relationship with you. That's not only what they desire. Father, that's what we desire. So if there's any sin or iniquity or transgression in our life, we ask forgiveness right now for that. And we choose, we make a quality decision to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have caused iniquity or transgression against our family. We don't hold it to their charge. But we do cast down any curses, anything that is of the enemy that is trying to manifest itself against us. We give you the glory and the honor for this broadcast. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, that leads and guides and teaches. And we ask that he begin to teach us now and begin to open our understanding so that we can have the righteous relationship, the right standing relationship, the approved relationship that you desire, Father God, in Yeshua's name, amen.
In Yeshua's name, amen. And so thank you, Rabbi, for praying, and you just received that blessing. As a recap from the eighth show, the question was about the Sabbath. How do you protect it, and how do you keep it holy? And I know when we last left off, we were talking about the Sabbath and three areas in which you protect the Sabbath is through honoring your parents, the way we eat, and then I think you were about to get into the do's and the don'ts of protect the Sabbath and keep it holy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Amen. Oh, no, that's fine. And I want to make sure that everyone really understood that, because this is just an overview, okay? This is just a basic ABC of how to do that. Okay, oftentimes there's so many different requirements and statutes and commandments and things of that nature that it just begins to overwhelm us from a standpoint of, oh my God, you know, how am I ever going to fulfill this properly? But one of the things that we've got to understand is it's just like a relationship. And if we begin to look at it more like a relationship than a bunch of rules and regulations, it starts to become a little bit easier. You know, I think about way back, you know, when I was courting my wife, I didn't have a manual on how to do that, unfortunately. I mean, it would have been great. You know, wouldn't have made as many mistakes. But I began to hear what my heart was saying about how I felt about her and how I desired for her to feel the same way about me. And in doing so, I began to just walk in the things that were pleasing and upright, not only to her, but to me. And as that began to happen, I began to realize that, you know, the very same things that I desire for her to do and not to do are the very same things that she desires for me to do and not do. And the Father is no different in that aspect, in the fact that He wants us, when it comes to these do's and don'ts, when it comes to the words that proceed out of our mouth and the actions that follow, He desires those to be honorable. He desires those to be noteworthy, to be respectful, but He also desires them to be done with the same compassion and the same passion that He has for us. This is a mutual relationship, and the Sabbath is a time of meeting. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of intimacy. It's a time of learning. It's a time of beginning to understand the things that I am to Him and the things that He desires to be to me. So when we begin to look at it from that perspective, then there, a large portion of the do's and don'ts just become very obvious. It becomes very obvious that He doesn't want you to mix His relationship with anything that's pagan. That becomes obvious. There's a plethora of scripture that talk about that, but when you begin to just bring it to the necessities, the bare necessities of the relationship, you're going to start to find yourself doing the things that He has for you that is approved of Him, that pleases Him. And then you're going to find yourself not doing the things that displease Him. You're going to find yourself hating the things that He hates and loving the things that He loves. So it's imperative for us to begin to see that, because we talked about three categories. We talked about honoring your parents. And the understanding of honoring your parents and what that truly does mean. We also talked about the food that comes out of your mouth. Now, that is a part of the guidelines that He has for us. Now, some will say, why is He so picky about this or about that? But when you begin to go even into the science of the types of foods, we found that these foods cause disease. That we don't have the kind of enzymes in us that God created the unclean animals, the scavengers, to be able to digest for us so that it doesn't cause the bacteria and the disease. In the same way, this third element, this third category, which is a little bit broader in scope than the other two, okay? But the third deals with the most important aspect, and that is the intimacy.
Yeah.
Because if you desire to be intimate with God, then you're not going to, in the same vein, you're not going to want to or to be attracted to those things that are demonic.
That's right.
It's going to be like a light switch. The light switch is either on or off. When the light switch is off, all of the darkness fills the room. When the light switch is on, the darkness dissipates. It totally leaves the room.
Yeah.
In place of it is light. So as you begin to desire this type of a relationship with Him, an intimacy with Him, talking to him and conversing with him, reading his word to get a better understanding of his type of criteria for a relationship, then it begins to become very clear. A good example, biblical example, and I'll give you one. A very good biblical example is the children of Israel. When Passover happened, and just before it happened, he, the Father God, was courting with the children of Israel. I know that sounds strange, but in courting, if you go through the courting process, you'll see that first and foremost, you have to introduce yourself. Well, by way of Moses, he introduced himself because they had forgotten who he was. Over that 430 plus years, they had forgotten his name. They didn't recognize him. So within that process, he began that courting and the relationship building. He began it all over again. In doing so, he had to deal with at least 10 of the gods that they or courters, the pagan gods that had tried to become suitors in the relationship. So when you see the plagues that were placed upon Egypt and upon their gods, it wasn't just placed there so that God could get the attention of the children of Israel, because he also saved a lot of Egyptians who began to realize that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the only God. And so they converted. And they left during this particular Passover time period. So back to this courting process, back to understanding the aspects of the do's and don'ts. The Father God began to deal with the children of Israel with the relationship that they had built with the pagan gods of Egypt. It all goes back to that word, relationship. And the area where it became intense, if you will, with the plagues and that sort of thing, was the area of intensity in which the intimacy was the strongest. It even bore itself out when the children of Israel left Egypt and were in the wilderness and ran into situations which God, of course, foreknew. And in those particular situations, God was expecting them to call out for him because he was the only suitor left. But instead, they kept calling back to go back to Egypt, to go back to their pagan gods. Okay? During this period of time is when the commandments, if you will, began to be drawn out. And all of those commandments, every single one, during that pilgrimage, if you will, from Egypt all the way to the Promised Land, every single one of those do's and don'ts were all dealing with how they were interfacing and building a pagan or an ungodly relationship with the gods of the land. So every single commandment was focused primarily on them understanding that God was to be their husband. He was to be their God. He was to be their sole source for everything. And Minister Tanita, I just want to pause here for a second and just make sure and that individuals are really grasping what I'm saying just by you kind of, you know, reverberating back what you understand that we've discussed so far pertaining to this third category.
Okay, so for the third category dealing with the intimacy, as you were stating, and which I totally agree with, it doesn't become hard when we begin to understand that it's like a relationship. Like you said, with your wife, you all courted each other. You got to know one another. You know what you did, you expected of one another, and what you didn't like of one another, and you honored that as you grew. And so the do's and the don'ts become easy even in our relationship with Yah. And one of the things is that, you know, of course, desiring to be in the light and not having fellowship with darkness, loving the things he loves, hating the things that he hates. But what I really, it helps to bring into the perspective is, in order to know the do's and the don'ts, you have to understand the commandments. And, of course,
that's
like
right.
Israel, they had gotten away from that. And it's interesting that before Moses became their deliverer, he had to go to where Yah was himself, to Yah's mountain. And so he had to get to know Yah in order to be able to teach and lead the people themselves. And so he was an example of how to get back before Yah. And then with Yah, even as we know, the first tablets he wrote himself, which meant that was
right.
how much he loved the people. But the commandments were a way to know how to unlearn the things that they learned in Egypt, and then to know what is acceptable in following him now that they're before they get to the promised land, which is the land that he promised, so that they wouldn't take anything that was unholy or offensive to him, to a land, to their home,
exactly.
a place of intimacy and their rules and guidelines. And that's what I've captured, and how important it is to understand that Torah is the key to keeping the Sabbath and the do's and the don'ts and keeping it holy.
Amen. Amen. I mean, and I know a lot of you listening probably are very much aware that Torah is also the ketubah. It's also the marriage contract. And one of the things that we've got to understand when we're even referring to the Sabbath from in any aspect is that this is not only a place and a time of intimacy, you know, with your husband-to-be, but it's also a rehearsal pertaining to the manifestation of the end of the wedding, the latter part of the wedding that is supposed to happen. So the Torah is not this terrible, you know, I guess I've got a couple of things that are coming to my mind right now, spiritually speaking, but it's not these terrible rules and regulations without any mercy, without any love, without any, you know, without any of that. A scripture that I want to go to, because some of my pastor friends have been taught some things that are contrary to of course what I'm sharing. And one of the things that I've heard that really hurt my heart for them, not for myself, but for them because of their lack of relationship with him, is that they looked at the Torah and have looked at and have been taught that the Torah was this this guideline or rules and regulation without any mercy, without any love, without any faith in it. And that can't be any further from the truth from a Hebraic perspective, obviously. So if you could read Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and in that, the listeners are going to get a real good understanding that Yeshua, Jesus, speaking by the inspiration and by the command and by the authority of the Father, sets the record straight when he's trying to deal with some Pharisees and Sadducees pertaining to the manner in which they were tithing.
Yeah.
And he explains within that construct, he explains to them that aspects of the Torah that are the weightier, the deeper, more important aspects of the Torah that are being neglected by them.
Yeah.
And so with that, I want us, when she reads it, to understand that the Torah being a different, it being a marriage contract, that is a different instrument altogether. And in a marriage contract, you've got to have intimacy. You have to have love. And when I say you have to have love, I'm not talking about, you know, a contract marriage where, you know, you barely get an opportunity, if at all, to know the individual, and then boom, you know, it was already developed and made concrete by two individuals that had authority over the two parties that were getting married. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not the way the father desires for his wife to be, to have a relationship with him. So, Minister Tanita, if you could read that, it's Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And in that, I want everyone to really pay attention to what Jesus says is the weightier matters of the Torah, or what is often called the law.
Amen. And so Matthew 23:23, I'm reading the New King James Version, Rabbi. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and cumin.
Yes, you are.
And have
you
neglected
are.
The, thank you, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving others undone.
So in this, Yeshua was reprimanding them because they were hypocrites, but not only because they were hypocrites, but because the most important parts of the law, of the Torah, they did not teach, nor did they walk it out themselves. Mercy, faith, righteousness or justice. They didn't teach this, because if they would have, then they would have had to repent themselves, because they were caught up in greed. They were caught up in substituting themselves for God and enjoying the financial benefits thereof.
That's right.
But the point that I want to make sure you take with you is that Yeshua never told them not to teach and tithe what they were tithing, which is, of course, Old Testament, but he was saying to them, the weightier matters, which are the spiritual, if you'll allow me to say that, the spiritual matters of Torah, is what is the essence of what you're supposed to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to learn how to walk, not just every day, but especially on the Sabbath, and observe the Sabbath, then I need to make sure that I understand that the Torah, that third category, what most have boiled down to do's and don'ts, is so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is boundaries that help keep you so that your heart doesn't become cold.
Amen.
Because once, because once your heart becomes cold, then the Torah and the relationship then becomes very difficult. And I agree that it is difficult at that point. Why? Because you have, for a reason, broken the trust barrier relationship between you and Yah. Once you break that, then you run into a tremendous amount of opposition. For example, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And if you can read Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. This is talking about Cain and Abel, and it's talking about Cain having a discussion with the Father God. And the Father God knew, of course, not only did he know the heart condition of Cain, Cain was going to do, but still gave him the opportunity to have an out. What I want you to grasp from this before we close is the fact that, going back to the heart condition, once the heart has been hurt, once the heart has received a major blow on its on its trust base, then the Torah becomes extremely difficult, if not impossible, to walk out. Go ahead and read that, would you, please?
Okay. Now, what verse am I reading, Rabbi? Genesis chapter 4?
Are you going to read verse 7, chapter 4 of Genesis?
Okay.
Genesis
okay.
Verse, chapter 4 and verse 7.
Okay. So Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, and again, this is New King James Version. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.
In other words, this is a situation where, and most of you know the story, where Cain and Abel gave an offering unto the Lord at the set time
mm-hmm.
in which God desired for them to have it. Cain was very much aware of the type of offering that he was supposed to give, but he was so overjoyed and to a degree prideful about the harvest that he received from the ground that he chose to give the best of what he received from the ground. Well, the
mm-hmm.
problem with that, and the only problem with that, is that's not what the Father said is the approved sacrifice.
That's right.
So therefore it was not received at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was rejected. And with
mm-hmm.
that, Cain felt rejected. With that, Cain suffered mm-hmm. a heart blow
mm-hmm.
dealing with their relationship. And then on top of that, he sees Abel right beside him who gives the proper sacrifice and receives the reward and the adoration and exaltation of the Father in the process. So not only is Cain rejected, but he's also, to a degree, if you will, humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
He's rejected because of what he gave, which was not correct, but he was also right there with his brother, seeing him being exalted because of his obedience. And here it says that we should have the rule over sin. Sin is
mm-hmm.
knocking at the door of our heart. And as long as our heart has the right love and desire and connection with God, according to God's mandate, his
mm-hmm.
way of doing it, then we will always have the ability to dominate and to control any type of sin and iniquity and any type of desires that are not of God. So God is giving, not only giving us keys, he's given us a total understanding of how to guard your heart so that the commandments are not hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cain broke the commandment.
That's right.
He was commanded to give a certain type of offering. He chose not to.
Mm.
So this is important for us to understand. And in recapping, I want to stop here and then just allow Minister Tanita to be able to give you information if you're interested in more and would like to know more about us or more about our fellowship and how you can connect into that. And I'll pass that on to her at this point.
Okay. And yes, that was great, Rabbi. Thank you for sharing with us about how the do's and the don'ts and how to continue to have our intimacy with God and through the do's and the don'ts, and that it's not hard as long as we keep our heart in the right place. So the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. And if you have questions, you can email us at tjonesbts@gmail.com. Of course, the ministry's name is Bethlehem Ministries, and there are two websites that you can obtain information. That is Bethlehem.org, BethlehemHashem.org. And then we have a Facebook page, and that is at www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. If you would like to attend the services, You can also email us at BethaShem@yahoo.com. That is BethaShem@yahoo.com for directions. Thank you for attending the show. Back over to you, Rabbi.
Yeah, shalom, shalom. And I just want to quickly bless you and just allow God to keep you and to keep your ways so that your ways are pleasing to Him. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you for the opportunity to bless each and every one that is listening and to help them to begin to allow the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to search their hearts, to try the reins, to see if there's anything that is breaking the commands in which you have established here on this earth. Father, help us so that our heart will only have that desire to have you fill it and not any darkness, so that we won't ever be in a compromising situation where we're not walking circumspect according to your Torah. Thank you for the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from all sin and that places us back on the path so that we can walk in true intimacy and fulfill your commands. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shalom, shalom.
Amen.